Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. So I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As I said before Mass started, we're starting a homily series for 3 weeks. You know how I like homily series. It gets me excited about seeing how the scriptures go together week in and week out. We'll be preaching on Matthew chapter 16 and then a section from chapter 18 in 3 weeks. And the homily series is called The Church's One Foundation. It's about authority in the church. Authority. Where does the church find her authority? I'll start where we started today's Mass. The hymn, The Church's One Foundation. We should all know it. We should all sing it. We should all. Some of y'all say, "I can't sing." I say, well, at least read. At least open the book, right? Like, just open it up. The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord. It was written in 1866 by Samuel John Stone, a hymnographer, priest of the Church of England. It's part of a 12-hymn series he wrote. I thought this was interesting. I looked it up and researched this week. On the 12 articles of the Apostles' Creed, traditionally the Apostles' Creed was broken up into seen as 12 articles or 12 statements or beliefs. And he wrote a hymn for each one. It was kind of cool. This one is on that I believe in the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints, that article. And the first line of the hymn, which is the title of the homily series, is something most any Christian, in fact, every Christian should profess this. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord. Matthew 28, Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth." Jesus is like, "Look, I'm the foundation. I got the authority." John 14, "I am." We remember, ego e me, saying, "I am God, Yahweh. I am the way, the truth, and the life." He's the foundation, right? John 15, "I am the vine. You are the branches." The vine's more important. We come from the vine. Ephesians 1, so this is St. Paul saying the same thing. And he put all things under his feet, his being Christ, and gave him as head over all things to the church. So the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord. If you are Christian, that's what it means, Christian, right? We believe Christ is the most important, the central person, the heart of our faith, your religion, your relationship. You must receive Jesus's teachings. You must receive Jesus's forgiveness. You must receive Jesus's grace. You must know who he is and know him. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord. But here's a question. How do we know him? Paul says in Romans today, he says, "How inscrutable are the judgments of God? How unsearchable his ways?" Like, how hard is it to know God truthfully? That's what Paul's saying. Even in the gospel today, they get it wrong. Jesus asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" It's a pretty important question. Like, who is Jesus? We're Christians. We got to know who Jesus is so we can be in relationship with him. And they got it wrong. These are people who walked with him. These are people who were like 2,000 years ago in Palestine. And they got it wrong. They're like, some people say you're John the Baptist. Some people say you're Elijah, come back from the... They got it wrong. How do we make sure that we're in relationship with Jesus? The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord, but Jesus Christ decided to forever bind himself to a real church so that we could confidently know him, encounter him, and receive his mercy. So our way, our bridge, if you will, our pontifex to Jesus is the church. So week one, this week, is going to be Peter is the rock. Week two, Peter, even though he's the rock, is not personally perfect. Okay. And then week three is, even though he's not personally perfect, you still have to listen to Peter. Okay, those are the 3 weeks. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord, authority in the church. So Peter is the rock. Sometimes it's good to look at the scriptures if you're going through it. I don't always tell you to do this, but you can. You don't have to. But page 439 is Matthew 16. This is one of the scriptures you should know off the top of your head. The authority in the church, the presence of the Pope in scripture, Matthew chapter 16. It's on page 439, if you want to look, but I'll be reading it. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Yes. Some say John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. We went through this. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter said in reply. So all the apostles are asked, but Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So first, Peter gets it right. He's the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, Christos. Jesus said to him in reply, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. So it's Jesus saying, it's not you personally, like, because you're really great. God revealed it to you. You got it right, but it's because of a special grace that God gave you. And so I say to you, remember his name's Simon. He says, you are Peter. The Greek is Petros. And upon this rock, Petra, the same word, just one's masculine because he's given him a masculine name. And Petra is feminine. I will build my church. So you are Peter, you are rock, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of the netherworld will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Notice these little aspects, the keys. He's the rock. He's getting keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I think it's obvious as Catholics where we find the church's authority, especially of the Holy Father, the Bishop of Rome, the Pope, right? But some would argue, see, it's easy for us to see it, but some would argue like, I don't see authority. I don't see Jesus passing on his authority to Peter in this scripture. I'll say, okay, well, that's when you need to take in the Old Testament. Remember, we take in the old and the new, and the old informs our understanding of the new. That's why the church gives us Isaiah chapter 22, because this is exactly what Jesus was wanting to call to mind to the apostles. He's fulfilling a position from the Old Testament. He's saying, I'm going to have this position in the New Testament too. Isaiah chapter 22, it's on the page prior, 438, if you want to see it. So this is a prophecy about a person called the master of the palace. It says, thus says the Lord to Shebna, who was a guy, he was the master of the palace. This was a position in Israel. It was like the prime minister. Okay, so this is a guy, the vicar. Wow, that is bright. Right there. I can't see you. It's like I'm on a stage. Okay. Shebna is the master. He's the prime minister. He's the vicar of the king, David. He's the right-hand man. This is a position in the Old Testament. And he says, I will thrust you from your office. So he's actually saying there's an office of prime minister, and this guy's getting booted. And I will put down from your station, on that day I shall summon my servant Eliakim. So he's filling that position. I will clothe him with your robe. There's special robes involved. I will gird him with your sash and give over to him, what? Your authority. So even the Old Testament, there was a right-hand man, a prime minister, a vicar of the king who had the authority of the king. And he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. I will place the key. Well, guys, listen. You listening? This is important. I will place the key of the house of David on Eliakim's shoulder. When he opens, no one shall shut. Does this sound familiar, guys? And when he shuts, no one will open. I will fix him like a sure peg and a sure spot to be a place of honor for his family. You cannot deny the connection. As an Old Testament position, a vicar, a prime minister, someone who has the authority of the king. In the New Testament, Jesus gives that to Peter. In the Old Testament, he is called a father to Jerusalem. What do we call the Holy Father? Well, I just said it. We call him Father. That's what Pope means. It's Papa. He's given the keys to the house of David, the keys to Jerusalem, the authority in the Old Testament. What is Peter receiving from Jesus? The keys, not just to a city, the keys, not just to a nation. He's given them the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Where do you think these jokes come from? You get to heaven, pearly gates, who's waiting for you? St. Peter with the keys. You know it was in the Bible. I mean, I know that people make a joke out of it, but it's real. He was fixed as a peg or a sure spot in the Old Testament, this master of the palace, this vicar, this prime minister. In the New Testament, in the new church that Jesus is founding, he is fixed as a rock upon the church, upon which the church is formed. But then he gives Peter something that Shebna never had, that Eliakim never had. He did not see, Isaiah did not prophesy that the gates of the netherworld would not prevail against Israel. In fact, a lot of times they did. And the temple is destroyed and it was never rebuilt. But what did Jesus promise to Peter? The gates of the netherworld will not prevail against it. So you see that this is obviously the authority of Jesus himself being passed on to Peter, the first pope, the first bishop of Rome. Now, when I present these scriptures, they're pretty convincing. So either people are like, okay, sign me up for OCIA. Okay. Or they say, well, okay, I'll grant you that. Peter's the right-hand man. He's the vicar of Christ. But how do we know that that authority was passed down to the subsequent popes, the subsequent bishops of Rome, the subsequent bishops? Well, in the Old Testament, the prime minister, remember, everything's fulfilled in a greater way in the New Testament from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the prime minister position was clearly a succession of authority. Remember, they're throwing Shebna down, and then they say there's an office, and then that office was filled by Eliakim. So in the New Testament, why would there not be a succession of authority, a passing on, a handing on of, that's what it means, right? The tradition, the handing on of that authority. Well, it is, and it's in the Bible. Remember Judas? We'll say Judas is like Shebna, right? He's being cast down. He cast himself down. And the church didn't go, okay, well, I guess we only got 11. And then the 11th is going to die, and then we'll only have 10. And the 10th is going to die, and then we're only going to have 9 bishops. No, no, what did they do? They said, look, Judas is out. Bring in the righty, right? They're just like, next one up. Let's go, Matthias. You know what bringing the righty is? It's like a baseball term. It's like, look, when the pitcher can't go anymore, he's out, his arm's shot, there's another pitcher that comes. They pass on the authority. Matthias became a bishop. He became an apostle. And so on and so forth. It's in Scripture. And the early church witnesses to this. This is not made up. I'm not making up in 2023. There's a guy named Irenaeus of Lyon. I know I bore you sometimes with those big names in the old writings, but this is important because we want to be connected to Jesus. He is our foundation, and he formed a church. Irenaeus is writing in the hundreds AD, mid to late hundreds. He was a disciple of Polycarp, who was a disciple of John. So John's an apostle. So he's two guys separated from him. And this is what he says. He says, the blessed apostles then, having founded and built up the church, committed into the hands of Linus, the office of the episcopate. You ever heard the name Linus? Not just from the Peanuts. Like, it comes from, right, a name in the early church. Linus, he handed on to him the episcopate. To him succeeded Anacletus. Or we just say Cletus. That's also another name that it's in the early church that you wouldn't think, but it just means helper. And after him, in the third place from the apostles, Clement was allotted the bishopric. So this is Irenaeus recounting, we say it when I say the canon of the Mass, Eucharistic Prayer 1, I say Linus, Cletus, Clement, Sixtus, Cornelius, Cyprian, Lawrence, Chrysogonus. Remember how I do that part? I'll do it today. You'll pay attention today. This is some of these are not popes, they're just early church fathers, but Linus, Cletus, Clement, Sixtus, this is the line of the bishops of Rome. And Irenaeus in the hundreds is saying that authority was passed on. So I'll skip until his time. He says, Soter, having succeeded Anicetus, Eleutherius does now in the 12th place from the apostles hold the inheritance of the episcopate. In this order and by this succession, the ecclesiastical tradition from the apostles and the preaching of the truth have come down to us. And why is this important? And this is most abundant proof that there is one in the same vivifying faith, which has been preserved in the church from the apostles until now and handed down in truth. So in the late hundreds, Irenaeus is like, how do we know we have one faith, one truth, one baptism, one Eucharist, one belief, one church? Well, it's a connection to the succession of the apostles. As it's right there in the early church. It's right there in the scriptures. It calls to mind the second verse from our hymn that we're using in the next couple weeks. The church is one foundation. Stone writes, elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth. We're all over the place, but we should be one. Her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. The common theme there is, it's a word, one. Calls to mind the creed, I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Why does this matter? Because we need a sure peg, to take Isaiah's words. We need a rock foundation, to take Jesus' words in Matthew 16. We need a foundation that will stand the test of time, that will not change. We need a confidence that even when everything is swirling around me, everything is changing, even everything is hostile in our lives, in our morals, in our families, in our souls, you might feel like you're unmoored in this world and you're just swirling around. We need something that doesn't change. And Jesus knew that. He saw you. He knows you. He's like, I'm going to give you something, a rock. And we can trust that you're in relationship with Jesus, that you know who he is, and that you receive his grace. As he says, as long as you stay on the rock. Please stand for our profession of faith.